I think it's really important to put more of a spotlight on women, because I'm reaching out to some companies where I look on their About Us page and it's all guys.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. Oh my gosh, you guys, I have driven through 10 states. What? On this road trip. I love this car. And with the cooled seats, we are able to have the most epic podcast interviews. And today in New Orleans, Louisiana, I have Mallory.
Hello. I just drove over here in my Kia Soul.
You have a Kia Soul?
I have a green Kia Soul. It's amazing. I love it.
Like, okay, wait, does it have the cooled seats too?
It doesn't. It's not that fancy, but it's the alien green color. And
it's so good that every time I think of the Kia Soul, I think of the hamsters.
Yes. It doesn't come with dancing hamsters. You have to pay for those separately, which I did not opt for.
Totally want the dancing hamsters. Thank you so much for making time on this Sunday morning for the Women in Tech podcast. Go ahead and tell everybody who you are and about all the things you do here.
Yeah. So my name is Mallory Whitfield. I currently am director of marketing at LookFar, which is a startup studio here in New Orleans where work with tech startups and companies to build their software and apps and websites and all that good stuff. And I've been here about a month. Before that, I was at FSC Interactive, which is a digital marketing agency here in New Orleans.
Right.
And I kind of taught myself all things digital social media marketing from running my own businesses as MissMalaprop.com for the last 11, 12 years, something like that.
And where are you from, New Orleans? Or
so I was born in New Orleans, but I didn't live here full time until college, which was 2002 or so. I grew up in Gulfport, Mississippi on the coast, which is about an hour's drive from New Orleans.
Cool. And when did you first realize that you were in love with technology?
I always call myself like an internet kid.
Right.
So I was born in 1983. So as soon as I had internet, maybe like 1994, I was sort of obsessed. I remember having, you know, like the laptop in my room in high school in the 90s and being all about it and being on message boards way back in the day.
Totally.
My boyfriend and I actually met on LiveJournal, which is also the place where I started learning the basics of HTML. So I would try to like tweak my LiveJournal.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So like LiveJournal taught me the beginnings of like HTML and coding and stuff.
And got you a relationship.
Yes, and got me a relationship that I'm still in.
I mean, LiveJournal is free MySpace.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because I learned HTML. I mean, I didn't get a boyfriend, but I learned HTML from MySpace.
Yeah.
So you learned it through LiveJournal.
I learned it through LiveJournal before MySpace. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's really interesting because there were a few other women I've interviewed who've also learned HTML from MySpace. And it makes me think, you know, what are the different alternative ways that we could present coding opportunities to people that doesn't feel like coding? And then they just realize they really love this thing.
Yeah. And for me, and I think for a lot of people with MySpace, it's like, I just knew that I wanted to tweak the look and feel of my blog, basically.
Right.
So I would just kind of hack around in there and see if I changed this thing, what would happen? If I changed this thing, what would happen?
Totally.
And I think that makes it kind of more accessible because it's like, yeah, I could maybe break it, but I could also just kind of reset it from scratch.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun experimentational
totally.
Kind of way to
And we have this thing that has nothing to do with like building a website or a product. It doesn't have anything to do with anything serious. It's just we want to make our profile green or sparkly or
yeah,
and it or kind add of, a photo or yeah.
It kind of almost sucks that now like Facebook and Instagram and MySpace or not MySpace, you know, Snapchat yeah. or something. They're so intuitive, but you don't have to really go and hack away at the back end
right.
like we did. So.
Yeah. I wouldn't say Snapchat's that intuitive. Snapchat's crazy. I had
true.
A learning curve with Snapchat. I needed my friend Saba to actually teach me how to use Snapchat. I just didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm too old for Snapchat. I tried to use it for like a month and then Instagram stories came out.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, sorry about your Snapchat. Not happening.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are you in the New Orleans tech scene today? What's happening for you now?
So since I moved to LookFar, I'm super, super excited. So the first really big project that I'm doing there is we are hosting the third annual Ada Lovelace Awards, which celebrate women in technology. And it's really cool because last year I was actually a nominee before I worked there.
So, cool.
So it's totally coming full
yeah.
circle. And now I get to be on the other side of things. And so for the last 2 years since it started, it's been focused on women in tech in New Orleans.
Right.
Because the CEO, Chris Reed, has a young daughter and he kind of looked around and was like, there's not enough very prominent female role models.
Right.
And he wanted to try to change that. And so this year we're expanding it even further to encompass 6 Gulf South states. So everywhere from Texas over to Florida.
Yeah.
So Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. And then we're also expanding it to be 4 different winners in 4 categories. So
right.
computer engineer, digital marketer, STEM educator, and then tech founder.
Right.
To make it so that we're recognizing all the different ways that people work in technology. So that's really exciting
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
me.
And tell me more about like why was this award show needed and what kind of positive impact has it been creating on the community?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, there's just not as much attention paid necessarily to women in technology, especially in the South. I think in general, the South kind of gets this reputation as we're like Luddites or, you know, by the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, like my boyfriend works in film and even in the film community here, which is big.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get some flack from the L.A. or the New York crews that come in and think they're just like not as skilled if they're from here.
Yeah.
And I think that same thing is sort of true for other industries, too. So I think it's important for us to come together as a tech community as a whole and then
yeah.
to also bring up women in the tech community since we're an even more minority within
right.
that. So I think it's great that we can recognize more people.
And what would you say is one thing that you've learned? What happened for you when you won an award? And then what learning experiences have you had in being behind the scenes?
So last year I was a nominee. I wasn't a winner, but there was, I think last year there was maybe 60 of us that were nominated,
yeah.
which was just an amazing experience to be in that room with all these incredible badass women
yeah.
and look around and see all the incredible things that we're doing. So that was really cool. And then to be on the other side of it, especially as we're expanding it to my home state of Mississippi and across the whole Gulf
yeah,
South,
I love
it's really cool. Yeah. It's cool because I'm getting to like reach out and let people know that this exists, give them an opportunity. Like I'm reaching out directly to companies in the,
yeah.
in the different areas to ask them to nominate their people. Because I think it's really important to put more of a spotlight on women. Because I'm reaching out to some companies where I look on their About Us page and it's
yeah.
all guys.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that they maybe know other women in the community, even if they don't work directly with them, that they
right,
can
right.
put a spotlight on so we can get more visibility for women working in these fields.
What do you think is one solution-oriented thing that we could consider creating in order to expose more people to technology? There's so many people that deserve the opportunity to be exposed to the tech culture. What's one thing? I know in early episodes I've shared, my dad, you know, got me video games and that was kind of my bridge into it. What are some of the things that you could think of? We talked about MySpace and LiveJournal. What are more things that we could do that are solution-based to just expose people to this world?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that whole MySpace LiveJournal thing, I wish that there were more fun ways to, like, play around with coding. Like, I I've used Code Academy, which I really enjoy because it's kind of project-based.
Right.
You kind of work through and figure things out, and it didn't feel super stressful or anything when I was playing around with that. So I wish that there was more sort of gamification of learning, like coding basics, for example. Around that time when I was really getting into Code Academy, I was looking for like iPhone-based apps that I could use on my lunch break or something, and I couldn't find a lot of good coding like apps where it was like fun and easy to sort of learn the basics. And I think especially for, you know, younger people, that would be really helpful to have more of that sort of stuff just like right there on your phone when you're bored to like play around with code.
100%. I mean, maybe if coding was thought about more like language learning, like Rosetta Stone does, or I think it's Duolingo, the different language learning programs for foreign languages, if they had things like that for coding language, something that you could do on a break or, you know, sitting on a bus or whatever it is.
Yeah. I think that would help expose more people of all ages to it. And I think, too, shifting the conversation around, like, what is tech? And that's part of why this year with the Ada Lovelace Awards, we broke it out into four different categories. Because me, as somebody who kind of focuses in digital marketing, sometimes if you're talking to a person who's gone through a computer science degree and works in software development, they might not look as somebody who works in digital marketing as tech.
Right.
But compared to people that are not in the tech world at all, like I have friends who don't understand what I do.
Yeah.
Right. Who just don't understand any sort of tech. So I think it is tech. It's not the same thing as being a hardcore computer engineer, web developer, or anything like that, but it's still tech. So I think we need to shift the language around like being more inclusive. And also, like, everybody uses tech. Like, you have an iPhone, you use tech.
Yeah.
You know?
And totally.
So, like, being more inclusive about what is tech and who's part of it.
I think one thing I'd like to touch base on, and I ask a lot of people about this, you mentioned that you have a boyfriend, and I think for women in tech, typically we're strong, powerful, independent, driven. What does it mean to be a loving partner? What does a relationship look like to you? I ask this a lot to, you know, moms, and how do they balance motherhood and being driven? And it's a thing, right? That when we are powerful women, but we equally want like a powerful man, what does that type of relationship look like?
Yeah, I feel really blessed because he's really great about sort of standing up for feminism and women's rights. I've seen him totally on his own volition, like not any conversation that we had or anything, post to his Facebook page kind of prompts, kind of, you know, backing up his other female friends, but also asking men about certain feminist issues to kind of like, to kind of like play the devil's advocate on behalf of what we as women deal with all the time and sort of being that guy who's bringing up the issues.
Because
I think it takes guys talking to guys about this stuff sometimes to kind of open their minds.
That's a good point.
So he's really good about that. And that feels very supportive to have that person in my life.
That's awesome. And then how do you set your boundaries? Like, when does being in a relationship begin and working end, vice versa?
Well, we are both really like workaholics and very creative people. So our relationship works out very well that way. Like I said, so he works in film currently, but he actually switched careers. He actually worked in IT for a really long time. And then kind of he knew that he wanted to do something more creative. And he basically he set down his job and his career that he was making really good money at and had been doing for like 10, 12 years and completely started from scratch as a production assistant in the film industry here in New Orleans and worked his way up. So he does that and stays really busy. But then he also builds all these crazy costumes in his spare time. And I similarly, like, I work in digital marketing by day and then I have a podcast and do other speaking things on the side. So we really support each other in just being hustlers and doing all sorts of creative stuff.
I love it. I think it's a really important conversation to have because we're human and male, female, alien, we want to be in a loving environment. At least I think most of us do. But when you're also driven, it's really, I find personally that it's really difficult to know where being driven stops and like building that personal time, loving environment. It's like, it's, you know, it's like, I love what I do so much, though.
Yeah. He's really supportive.
Yeah.
And he's like my greatest cheerleader.
Yeah. So, okay, you talked about your podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah. So I just started podcasting in July of this year. My podcast is called Badass Creatives. And so it kind of goes back and forth between two types of episodes. So some of them are solo episodes with me giving advice about marketing and running a handmade or creative business, because that's kind of the world that I came from. I did art markets for a really long time and sold handmade products. Yeah. So it's a lot of stuff based in that world. And then the other half of the episodes are interviews with other creatives about the ways that they run their own businesses and different things that they've learned along the way. And I try to get really tactical advice out of them whenever possible.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are a couple actionable things that you could share with us?
So who's the audience? I mean, that's always my first question about anything is like, who am I giving advice to? Cause you got to think about who's your ideal customer, right?
So you mean like for the Women in Tech podcast? So right now it's women in tech, averaging from 24 to 34 around the world.
Cool. So that alone, the fact that you knew that information, that's my first piece of advice, right?
to know that,
like, who are you talking to? Because honestly, that ideal customer piece is something that a lot of even bigger companies, like working at a digital marketing agency, sometimes we would have, you know, like newer companies come in or even more established companies that have like shifted over the years and they're just not sure anymore about who they're speaking to. And whenever somebody's like, oh, yeah, my audience is everybody, like everybody could use my product, that's your first problem because you're not focused enough. Yeah. And you can't market something to everybody. Like maybe Walmart can because they have this insane budget and they're Walmart. But like not even everybody is Walmart's customer. Right. So you got to think about who are your people, what drives them so that you can actually speak their language and reach them and make them want to buy your stuff or use your service or whatever it is.
It's so true. Even thinking about, I used to own a marketing agency a while ago. And when you think about creating like a Facebook page or Instagram or whatever, you need to know who you're communicating to know what kind of content to be posting on these different things, because you wouldn't, I know this is an example I gave so long ago, you wouldn't post the same thing to like a 17-year-old that you would to a mom.
Yeah. And you wouldn't even post them on the same channels, right? Like we're talking about Snapchat. Yeah. So if my target audience was teenagers, I would definitely want to be on Snapchat, maybe Instagram, but maybe not Facebook because all of the parents and grandparents are on Facebook now. Yeah. Right.
Totally.
But if I'm marketing to like middle age, like mom types, Facebook all the way, but probably not Snapchat.
And mom types, Pinterest.
Yeah. I'm actually speaking about Pinterest at VenturePop Conference here in a couple weeks in New Orleans.
Cool. Okay. Tell us two things. Tell us what is VenturePop Conference, and also tell us like maybe one, I love these actionable things because the whole point of this show is to walk away and being able to accelerate our own lives. So what's a tip on Pinterest? I actually am so Pinterest newbie.
Okay. So yeah, VenturePop Conference started 3 years ago. So it's actually the same age as the Ada Lovelace Awards, coincidentally. And it is a conference for creative entrepreneurs. They can be product-based businesses or freelancers, service-based businesses. And it's really cool because it brings together people from here in New Orleans as well as people from out of town. It's actually been people from all over the country all 3 years since the beginning, which is really fun. And this year, it's a 2-day conference, and it's going to be held at the New Orleans Museum of Art, which is a beautiful venue.
Awesome.
And so it is September 30th and October 1st this year, and it's annual. It's really fun. It's got a lot of like inspirational type talks and then actionable advice. So I'm going to be speaking about the power of Pinterest. And the main takeaway that I always want people to have is that Pinterest is a search engine. Pinterest is not social media in the same way that Facebook or Instagram are. It's a search engine.
Yeah.
And the content that lives on Pinterest can last really, really long time, like months and years, and send traffic back to your site.
Yeah.
So you've got to think about what goes on Pinterest if you're trying to use it for marketing purposes to drive traffic back to your own website. Think about it in terms of what is evergreen, what is going to be useful over a long period of time, and then creating beautiful visual images that are going to perform well on Pinterest for that content. So it needs to be tall vertical images, usually a little bit of text on like a tall vertical image works really well on Pinterest to drive traffic back to your site.
But now is it mainly moms though?
So Pinterest does skew female, but it's definitely not just moms. If you are a mom and you're like marketing your stuff to moms, then you can definitely find that audience there. But I've seen a lot of freelancers and business coach type businesses perform really well. Also product-based businesses.
Like, should we be sharing the Women in Tech podcast episodes on Pinterest?
I think you could find people on there. If you were creating graphics for each podcast episode that were optimized for Pinterest versus optimized for Facebook or something, because it's going to look different.
Oh, you mean size? When you say optimized, you mean size
wise.
So yeah, we could totally do that. Yeah. You think that's worth our time? Because I know that as a team for We Are LA Tech, my organization in Los Angeles, I actually just this week decided to stop using Snapchat, because when I interview all the LA Tech, all the people in LA Tech, most of them don't use Snapchat. Very few use Snapchat. So I'm like, okay, why are we putting so much energy into Snapchat?
I think because you're focused on women in tech and Pinterest is very female oriented, I think it would be worth experimenting and testing it and giving it some time.
The team needs to learn from you. Where do we, first of all, this is a great point. And all this stuff you guys will include in the show notes. So one, how do we connect with you? Two, how do we find out more about the award show? And tell us also where to find, you said it was called Pop Venture?
Venture Pop.
Venture Pop. So tell us all of the contacts.
Okay. So my personal website that I started way back in 2006 is missmalaprop.com, missmalaprop.com. And that has a lot of information. There's a resources page that has a lot of different blog posts and things. I actually don't have anything about Pinterest right now since I'm about to be speaking about it, but I'm planning to at some point do a podcast episode about Pinterest.
Oh my God, you have to send it to us!
So my podcast and all that good stuff is at badasscreatives.com, or you can look it up on iTunes or Stitcher, any of those places. And then the Ada Lovelace Awards. So Lookfar is the company I work at and we host them. So if you go to our website, you can find out the information about the awards. So it's lookfar.com.
And it's a K, no space, capital F.
Yeah. Capital F in the middle of LLOKFAR. Capital F there. And then Venture Pop Conference. So just look up venturepopconference.com. It's, like I said, it's the third annual one. I think they're going to keep going. It's a really, really fun. It's an intimate conference. It's not one of these huge things. It's usually capped out at about 200 people.
Yeah.
So you can really like connect with everybody, and they make it so that there are opportunities to network and make it really feel comfortable and very community minded, which is great compared to some of these like thousand, 2000 person conferences.
Totally.
And you feel overwhelmed. So,
and, you're a podcaster, your fellow podcaster.
Yeah.
For anybody listening that is, you know, thinking about having a podcast, or they've heard a lot about podcasting lately, or they've listened to podcasts so long, they're like, maybe I want to have my own. What has been your experience being a podcaster? What do you love about it?
I came to it from, I grew up doing theater, and I've also gotten really into public speaking the last few years. And so that's a big part of it. I just enjoy sharing information and helping people. And I've been doing a lot of that via blog posts over the last 12 years. Like it's gotten to the point where people will send me questions and I would just respond with like a really long blog post instead of the world's longest email.
Yeah.
And now that I'm doing podcasting, it's a kind of faster, easier way for me to answer the questions instead of having to think and type it all out. I can just sort of off the cuff record another episode, tie it in there to help people out and give them kind of free advice.
Yeah.
So that's a thing that I really enjoy about podcasting, is just sharing and building the community.
And what would you say, who should not be a podcaster?
I mean, if you think that it's not for you.
Well, of course. But is there something that you're like, you've seen people be like, I think I'm going to start a podcast, and you thought, no, you really shouldn't?
Well, I think if you can't commit to doing it on some sort of regular basis, then it's probably not worth it. Because I've seen a lot of podcasts that were clearly started years ago and abandoned in iTunes that haven't been updated since 2014. Or people who only create an episode once every like couple of months, which is just weird. Like your audience doesn't know what's happening.
Unless you're the hardcore history podcast.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like I love Henry Rollins, Henry and Heidi podcast, and they only very sporadically release episodes. But I don't care because it's Henry Rollins. You're a celebrity. So. But yeah, I think try to create it on a consistent basis if you're gonna do it.
Totally. I'd say if, like, for me, I you guys know this, I love podcasting. And I feel like if you're only trying to start a podcast just because all of a sudden it's trendy, please don't. Not just for that. Do it because like for me, I feel like I'm painting audio. I love it. I love the impact that there's so much that I love about it. So if you don't have that feeling, like if there's another medium out there that you feel like is more in alignment with what your personality is, do that. Don't try to do something just because it's trendy.
Yeah. And I really enjoy it, but it's a lot of work. And especially,
it's a lot of work.
I don't come from an audio background. Luckily, like I said, my boyfriend works in film and we have other friends who work in like audio engineering. Yeah. So I had people to give me tips and advice and equipment. But yeah, it's still a steep learning curve if you're not totally familiar with the world.
Totally. I used to, for just a quick tip, I used to edit all the episodes myself. And I used a program called Sound Studio that was amazing. It's like iMovie for Mac, but it's for audio. And now our lovely Adam, listening to our voices right now, edits. He's based in Canada. I've worked with him since 2014. And he's like a gem on this planet. And I'm lucky that I could just end the conversation and just send him the file. Okay. So I was telling you about the Share Your Compass bracelet before we got started, right? So this is 1939. So a female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina created these. This is gender neutral, looks like leather, but it's cork from Lisbon, Portugal. And she hand makes them all. And the whole idea is you share on shareyourcompass.com where you got it from, and then you give it to a woman in tech within 2 weeks. And then she shares on Share Your Compass where, how she received it. And then it goes down and she gives it to someone in 2 weeks, a woman in tech. And then all you guys can see the chain of like the people that get it. So it helps unite globally the women tech community.
This is like Where's George, but with women in tech.
Wait, what's what?
Where's George is the dollar bill thing where you get like a stamp and you put it on dollar bills. And then you can go and track how the money, how the currency travels throughout the country.
Dude, it's that's really cool.
It's super
cool. Can you still do that?
Yeah, I think it's still around. I used to, when I did art markets all the time and worked in retail,
that's
as a way
so
to keep
cool.
myself entertained, I would sometimes stamp money because sometimes I would receive it and I would go check it out and see where the money came from.
Wait, how can it, how is it tracked?
So it's just like a rubber stamp that you stamp onto a dollar bill.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might have received them. If you look, if you pay attention, you might notice like, where's George? Somebody stamped it on the dollar bill. And basically you just use the ID number that the dollar bill got printed out with from the Mint.
Yeah.
And you go pop that into wheresgeorge.com and you can see where that money has been so far that people have put it in the system.
That's I gotta do that.
Yeah.
So yes, this is like that. Do you have someone in mind that you'll be giving this one to? Again, it's 1939.
I work with some pretty badass ladies at Lookfar, so I think I might pass it on to them and let
awesome.
It keep going. Yeah.
And then we have the Women Who Startup sticker. Do you know Women Who Startup?
Yeah.
That organization housed in Denver, Colorado, but they have chapters globally. And then the Women in Tech sticker.
Nice.
So now you have that. But really, the bracelet. Like,
yes,
I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
Cool. How do you overcome challenges?
Google is a great tool for teaching you things. Well, when I was trying to figure out my own audio editing workflow, right? Because I was like, I just don't even know how to wrap my brain around it.
Yeah.
I headed to Google and I found Pat Flynn, who has the Smart Passive Income podcast.
He's a really nice person.
He's so nice and genuine. And he had a really great YouTube video that's just look up Pat Flynn, like how to edit a podcast or something. You'll probably find it. He made this really, really clear video about how he edits in GarageBand. And so that's what I use. And I use his exact template formula. It's changed my life, like, and made me
that's
feel like
so
I could do
it. That's so cool. Shout out to Pat. Hey, Carl, who does our show notes. Carl, be sure to link to Pat Flynn and find that YouTube video so people could click on it really easy. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. Is there anything that you feel like you didn't get to share that you really wanted to say?
Nothing except, you know, come down to New Orleans because it's a gorgeous town. If you've never been here,
it
you
is.
Will love it.
It's been amazing. It's a wild town. You guys, I'm working on this y'all thing. I'm trying to not say guys and I'm trying to say y'all.
Y'all is inclusive of everyone. All genders, all people.
I know. This is why I'm trying to do y'all. So y'all, but I need to like work it in. I don't have my thing yet, but definitely check out the Women in Tech Facebook group, womenintechvip.com. If y'all want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech, I made it so the womenintechvip.com just goes straight to the Facebook group so you don't get lost. And I get all the tweets of like, which one is it? Now, you know, it takes you right there. You could tweet at us, Facebook us, Instagram us at Women in Tech Show. We're at Women in Tech Show on all social handles. And I will talk to you guys. See you guys. I can't. I think I'm not going to win with the guys thing. I just realized that like I must say guys all the time. Is it that bad?
You got to do y'all.
See y'all. Hear
See y'all.
Y'all
later.
See y'all later. Bye. This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. We've been road tripping.
Yes.
There's three of us. We've slept in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We've taken it to campsites.
Wow.
Look, it has a sunroof.
Yeah.
That is like so dope.
This, I'm not kidding. This is like really bizarre.
So dope.
Because Kia was my last stop on my car buying journey.
It's so
but
dope.
But I was blown away. And this, I'm like, the stars are aligning.
Yeah. And the space in the back, super spacious. If I were to do a road trip again, I don't see me driving. And like the GPS working when there's no other cell reception, the heat and the cooled seats, depending on the temperature outside, just everything. This car is amazing.
This is incredible. It's so funny because we have an SUV and now I'm like, maybe we should be trading in our SUV and opting for the Niro as well. Maybe we'll go full Kia
I mean,
as a family. Because we do a lot of road tripping.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.